read to you from John chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 25 through 27 of this chapter. There's so much David kind of referenced earlier, so much in John 14 we could look at. But from our last 2 weeks that we've been together, as we've been considering some of the words of Christ, we really found our Lord emphasizing when he cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then it goes on to say, this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So over the last few studies, we've really honed in on the sayings recorded in Scripture of our Lord speaking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught about the necessity of the Holy Spirit. And he talked about the importance of it in the lives of believers that would be born again of his Spirit. And so we looked last time and saw the connection between keeping the commandments of Jesus, which are to love as he loves. That needs, it has a necessity of connection with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We saw that 2 weeks ago. This week we're in John chapter 14. Let me read to you 25 through 27. Our Lord says this. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, namely the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Father, we pray that we would understand this peace today. We pray that you will give us this peace today through your Holy Spirit. And we pray that we, through your Spirit and his work in our lives, would walk with our Savior in this world. He is not here. He is risen. But he is with us. He is with us. Guide us through this study, we pray in his name. Amen. In John chapter 14, our text reveals a connection between the Holy Spirit and peace given to us. Just like we saw 2 weeks ago, a connection between the giving of the Holy Spirit and the ability to observe the commandments of our Lord to love even as he loved. And last time we looked and we saw this wonderful quote, and I've got just a small portion of it, about this love that we are to keep this commandment of love by D.A. Carson. It said, "This commandment is presented as the marching order for the newly gathering messianic community." That's the church, the body of Christ. "This commandment has been brought into existence to be in the messianic community by the redemption which God himself had purposed long before. And it is not just the standard of love that is to be Christ and his love, but more, it is a command designed to reflect the relationship of love that exists between the Father and the Son, designed to bring about amongst us, the members of this newly emerging messianic community, a kind of unity that characterizes Jesus and his Father." It's a lot of words. There are a lot to take in off the very front of the sermon here. But it's basically this. We as the body of Christ are to reflect the love of Jesus and his Father, and the love that the Father has for the Son Jesus. That is to be evident within us. That cannot happen of our own natural strength. I can't just simply say, oh, the Word of God says this, go forth and show that love. Try really hard. Okay? I want you to love so earnestly that the world around you sees that. Go do it. You can't of your own strength. If you try, you'll fail of your own strength. But his Spirit, being poured out from on high at Pentecost, causing us to now be born again, we must and we will show that love. In fact, Jesus, speaking so confidently about his work of his Spirit within us, told us that the world around us, the unbelievers that hate the things of Christ, that reject him, they will see what in us and know that we are his children? That love. The love of the Father to the Son, reflected in our love of God and our love of one another and our love of a world that rejects us. That's going to be what arrests their attention. That's what's going to be the sign to them they are different than this world. When they respond to us, or when they treat us with scorn and disrespect, it's not going to be the wisdom of our argument against them. It's not going to be the earnestness of our angst against them. It's not going to be our returning more hatred towards them than they had for us. It's going to say, wait a minute, who are these people? They're going to see a love, a grace, and a forgiveness in the people of God that will show them we are people redeemed by Messiah. In our text this week, one of four passages that I want to reflect upon about Jesus' teaching of the Holy Spirit. The first one we saw ties into his commandment that we love one another as he has loved us. John 14:25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, the text says. And then he refers again to the Holy Spirit. But notice the name that he gives to the Holy Spirit here, the Helper. But the Helper. And then it's made clear who he's speaking of, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Just a small note here, I'm not going to go long on this here, but I do want us to make sure we don't think of the Holy Spirit as just the power of God in our lives. It is not just a force, and I use the word it there purposefully, that we do not think of the Holy Spirit just as a thing. The scriptures here refer to the Holy Spirit personally. And it's borne out in this text. Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. This is why we often refer to the person of the Holy Spirit. And let's not reduce his work, his ministry, his being to just a force or a power. It's not how the scriptures would let us speak. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let's talk about this peace in connection with the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And I want us again this morning to, whether you're online, whether you're here, I'm going to ask us to do something that's very, very hard for us to do. Let's remove ourselves from what we are used to experiencing. I know that sounds a little odd for a moment. But what I want to ask us to do is, for a moment, not take for granted what we know and what we experience. And to do that, let's place ourselves in this context. Jesus is walking with his disciples. whom he has been with for some time. He has been teaching them. Earlier in this chapter, he taught them the thing that we looked at a couple weeks ago about they are to keep his commandments. They are to love one another as he has loved them. And Jesus is beginning to reveal to them, as he speaks of the promised Holy Spirit and his work that is to come, Jesus is telling his disciples, he must go away. Now, placing ourselves in that context, you can begin to understand their difficulty. Remember when Jesus came in some of the very first passages that we looked at as we were examining some of this series on the words of Christ and how his lips with grace overflow and how wonderful these words are to hear. We remember when he first is seen, the people are proclaiming, Son of God. Son of David. They had that messianic hope. And they're recognizing, as they're kind of asking themselves, as they're kind of proclaiming, as they're kind of confused about, is this the one, the promised one? Peter himself will be asked, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Think about that profession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says to Jesus, walking with him, teaching him. And Jesus says, the Messiah, the expected one, the Son of God. I am going away from you. I am going to leave you. I will no longer be walking by your side. I will no longer be asking you, what was that that you were saying? I will no longer be correcting the error of your thought in person. I will no longer be protecting you from the world. I will no longer be speaking on your behalf. I will no longer be in person here advocating for you as I am. I am going away. Now, all of us in our lives, to some degree, find peace in things in our life. For some of us, it's a person. It can be often for husbands and wives. When they're together, they have a peace. There's just something about being together, knowing you're going through this together. And even if you don't have the right answers, and even if you don't know what is ahead, you're going through it together, there's a bit of peace there. And dear friends, it's a divine peace reflected in that love, especially husband and wife. That's why we are to guard that relationship so carefully. It can be there between parent and children. There are times, as parents, you can think back in those moments when your child was suffering in some way and you were just, you couldn't fix it all. You didn't have all of the answers. You didn't even know what to say, but you were just there. And you know the peace that that gave to them. It can be with a close friend. Even us being here today, just being together, we know the sort of peace that we experience here. Jesus the Messiah was with them. And he said he was going away. Our text reads this. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. You can think that perhaps the most holy desire would be to say, Jesus, always be with me. Never leave me. These things I have spoken while I am still with you. And that word still all of a sudden becomes haunting. These words I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. You mean there will be a time when you're not with us? and the mind can start to run. But the very next word of Jesus is this: but what? These words you have spoken to me, Lord, while you were still with me, but what? But the Helper. Jesus is emphasizing that there is something greater than hearing the words of Jesus from his own lips. That sounds a little odd. Matter of fact, many of the things I'm going to say are going to sound a little bit odd. You're going to have to believe me when I say, I believe this, and whatever I say next, you're like, well, but don't you believe this? Yeah, I just told you I believe that. The words of Jesus in person were wonderful. I believe that. You guys with me here? The place that these disciples had to hear was wonderful. But every person that Jesus taught didn't just go out and be like, hey, great, I'm going to go out and I'm going to lead people to Christ. I'm going to go out and I'm going to teach the masses. I'm going to go out with wisdom now because Jesus taught me in person. I heard his very words and I'm changed. It's not what happened, was it? Jesus is emphasizing there is something greater than hearing his very words from his very mouth. And notice what he doesn't say. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the canon will be complete. These words will be recorded on paper for you to refer back to. It's not what he says. I believe the scriptures are inspired by God and profitable for rebuke, teaching, exhort, comfort, everything. All right? They are. But that's not what Jesus said you need to wait for to his disciples. Sounds a little odd, I know. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. These words are amazingly beautiful. These words give them hope and us hope. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. The life our Lord calls us to live, to obey his commandments, to love one another as he has loved us, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. The purity he calls us to, the boldness he calls us to, the service he calls us to. All of these things that he calls us to live by are not by our efforts of memory and remembrance of his word. This life that we live is not by a list of rules that we have spelled out before us and we remind ourselves from time to time of, nor is it something that is to be catechized into our minds as the chief means of his lordship in our lives. He sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be in our lives. Is he in your life? Again, please notice that our Lord does not say, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the canon will come of the New Testament. It will teach you all things. Again, you know my view of the scriptures. By me saying this, I'm not disparaging the place of the scriptures in our life. It's primary. But it is, wow. We need to add or modify a sola here. How come the Holy Spirit, the Helper, didn't make it into the solas? It's not by the Scripture alone. It's by the Scripture through the Holy Spirit in our lives. We must have the Holy Spirit teach us. That doesn't disparage the Scriptures for me to say that, just like it didn't disparage the teaching of Jesus to his disciples for him to say that. You need me to go away. You need the Holy Spirit to be given. You need the Helper, the Holy Spirit in your lives, because he will change you. He will guide you. He will comfort you. He will lead you. He will be with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, the power from on high is poured out, the Holy Spirit. And this was power, not parchment. This was the person of the Holy Spirit that immediately came forth from the innermost being of Peter and the believers, rivers of living water, and immediately they were changed. Peter stands from that moment proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection and lordship of Jesus Christ in a way he had never proclaimed it before. And it wasn't just he studied well leading up to that sermon. That was not the greatest exposition of all time. That was the greatest demonstration of the work of the Holy Spirit poured out and changing. These words of Christ that he says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And he did for Peter in that moment. I am continually amazed by the difference in the followers of Christ before Pentecost and after. There has never been such a marked difference in the lives of anyone prior to this. The words of Christ came true. His Father sent forth the Holy Spirit, and he was their teacher. Is he yours? Dear friends, there are testimonies here of this very thing. There are testimonies of people who grew up knowing the Scriptures, knowing the words of Jesus, but until you were born again of his Spirit, it was superficial. But when the Holy Spirit, by God's will and grace, caused you to be born again, caused you to be made alive out of your deadness, and he gave you the knowledge of God, the knowledge of life, the knowledge of his will, everything changed. When you were born again of his Spirit, you were changed from the inside out. Praise God that he has given you rivers of living water. And notice here in our text, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. There is a connection between the Helper of verse 26 with the peace of verse 27. These things I have spoken while I am still with you. There is a connection between the peace of verse 27 and the fear expressed in verse 25 by knowing that Jesus would no longer walk with them. And dear friends, here, January 2nd, 2022, he, the Holy Spirit, is here with us in the same way. None of us have to think that we got the short end of the stick by not being born a few thousand years ago and hearing Jesus himself teach. We're going to be with him in eternity. We'll have that to look forward to. But even if you have lived a few thousand years ago and been taught by Jesus himself, you have not been robbed, so to speak, of any of the power and the teachings of Christ through being alive now. I don't know if that sounds really basic to you or really profound to you. It's why I started the sermon saying I need us to separate ourselves a little bit from this. Do you recognize God has sent forth the Helper, the Holy Spirit, into your life, dear believer, so that you know his will? So that you have been taught by God himself? He will teach you all things. All things. He will do that. And he is doing that in your life. That's an amazing claim, isn't it? That is something the rest of this world could not understand. We have to ask ourselves, do we understand that? Do you rise each day thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit teaching? Do you recognize how lost we would be, how divided we would be, how much our own flesh would fail us, and that's all we would have except the Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom the Father has sent, is teaching you all things. Oh, we need that word. And putting ourselves in the context of these who heard these words the first time. When Jesus was revealing to them, he would be departing. He would no longer be with them. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send in his name, would bring them a peace. That also, dear friend, is for us. Whatever you are going through in this world, I'm going to pause for a moment, not for dramatic effects, but for the intellectualness of that thought to catch up to us. Whatever you are going through. Got people online, we've got people in the room. One more time for our minds to catch up. Whatever you are going through, whatever temptation you're facing, Jesus knows. He took the form of you. A man, a human being. And he faced hunger, and thirst, rejection. He was despised. He was mistreated. He was rejected. He was conspired against. He felt every bit of pain that any one of us could feel. So once again, whatever you are going through, peace, our Lord says. Peace, I leave with you. Sometimes in our lives, in our minds, we're weak. I think we can all admit that. We're very, very weak, right? And so sometimes tangible things speak to us because it helps us because we struggle with things beyond tangible things, definitely. So we could have a picture behind me of a beach and waves coming up on it and a couple of prints of footsteps on that beach. Some of you are too young to really ever have seen this before. But there was this famous painting, and it had two sets of footprints, and then all of a sudden there was just one set of footprints going on from there. And the whole point of this little warm and fuzzy exercise was when you struggle with something and you look back in your life, and sometimes you feel Christ's presence, and you can kind of see maybe he was walking with me through that, but then at some point I was walking alone. So the point of that little warm and fuzzy picture is, Lord, where were you in my times of trouble? You were with me before, now I'm walking by myself. And the little punchline comes in, well, that's when I was carrying you. And we all feel warm and fuzzy. No tricks. No little punchline. I want you to know this. And I want you to know this in whatever you're going through. Jesus, for his people, said, I leave with you peace. A peace that he doesn't have to be standing with us or even carrying us. A peace given to us through his Holy Spirit. The Helper, the Holy Spirit. He is not only our teacher, which is beautiful that he is, but he provides rivers of comfort, the comfort of our Lord Jesus. Dear believer, our Lord is with you through the Holy Spirit given to you. You are to experience that peace. I've got another quote from D.A. Carson here. Last week, or last time, about love. Let's look at what he says about this peace. This peace is one of the fundamental characteristics of the Messianic kingdom, anticipated in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New. Do you believe that? Do you believe this peace is one of the fundamental characteristics of this kingdom of Christ? Or is this peace, it's kind of there from time to time, and I like the moments of it. No. This peace is one of the fundamental characteristics of the Messianic kingdom, anticipated in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New. And if you're thinking that sounds too good to be true, hold on. D.A. Carson continues, this is the peace which garrisons our hearts and minds against the invasion of anxiety. And it rules and arbitrates in the hearts of God's people to maintain harmony among us. Of this peace, Jesus says, I do not give it to you as the world gives. Listen. The world is powerless to give peace. There is so much hatred, selfishness, bitterness, malice, anxiety, and fear that every single attempt at peace is rapidly swamped. The world promises peace. The world waves the flag of peace as a greeting, but it cannot give it. But Jesus displays transcendent peace, his own peace. In his words, my peace I leave with you. And he gives us this peace throughout his perilous hour of suffering and death. He had that peace even when he was going through suffering and death. And it was by that very death that he absorbed in himself the malice of others, the sin of the world, and he introduced the promised messianic peace in a way none of his contemporaries had envisioned. Jesus says, my peace. My peace I leave with you. And it is that peace that is through the Holy Spirit. Some of the best prayer requests are found by studying to see what the apostles prayed for constantly. Let me read to you two of them. Romans 15:13. Here's the prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Please hear that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now listen to this. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, see the connection there? You may abound in hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we need the God of peace. We need his Holy Spirit. Let him teach you more than you allow the world to teach you. We don't realize it, but we're often taught by the world, aren't we? We're often convinced by the world. Those things that I mentioned earlier, that the world promises peace and waves the flag of peace as its greeting, the world will try to tell you that you can find peace in it. It's a lie. And of all the points of human history that we ought to be able to recognize this, we see it all around us. There is sufficient hatred, selfishness, bitterness, malice, anxiety, and fear that every attempt at peace is swamped in this world. It is. But Jesus told his disciples that he must go away and that his Father would send forth the helper to them. And he said through that, my peace I leave with you. There is no other source of peace. And if you have been trying to find peace in other things, this is going to sound strange. Stop. Just stop trying to find peace elsewhere. If you find something in this world that feels like peace, I will tell you now, it can be taken away. You can be separated from whatever that is. It will fade and it will flee. But who will separate us from the love of God? He will not take away his Holy Spirit from us. He has given us his Spirit because he loves us. He has given us his Holy Spirit to give us peace as we walk through this world. So let me close simply by repeating, whatever you are struggling with right now, you may have the peace that Jesus said was his peace through the Holy Spirit. Aren't those wonderful, gracious words of our Lord? Let's pray.